It is good to have everyone today, and we want to praise God for the privilege of assembling in His name. We're looking at a message today entitled, The Timing of God, Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. We're going to look at the plans, the purposes, and the timing of God as it is interwoven into our lives. And the bottom line is that, you know, His plans and His purposes, sometimes we know exactly what they are. And we know what God wants and we know what we want, and they are aligned. And they're 100% on target. But the bottom line is His timing is just as important. The what is just as important as the when. So we want to look at that in the scripture today. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says this. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God. For He will abundantly pardon. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come today, I thank You, Lord Jesus, for salvation. I thank You, wonderful Father, for health and for strength to be here today. And Father, I pray for forgiveness, a daily sin and for weekly sin. I pray for a cleansing. And I pray, sweet Lord Jesus, for an anointing of Your Spirit and an infilling of Your Spirit to share Your truth. To wash the feet of these people, Lord Jesus, as a servant in humility and in obedience. Father, let everyone in this place know that You love them. That You have a plan and that You have a purpose for their lives. And Father, that in every area of every life in this room today, Lord Jesus, You want to bless us. You want to provide for us. And You are calling on us to have a spirit of obedience so that You can do that. Heavenly Father, bless us now and lead us in this time. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, look at what the scripture says. In verse 6, he says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near. Now, Isaiah is introducing here God's concept of time along with His plan, His purpose, and everything that He wants to do in the world for the history and all these epic events of the birth of Christ, the return of Christ, the end times, but also in your personal life. So let's look at some of these time verses. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And you know, a lot of times we're praying for things. And we are praying for God to do things. And one of the things we say over and over again is, Lord, why are You taking so long? Why is God delaying? You know, why is God not doing what He needs to do? And look at what the scripture says here, right before the flood. In verse 5, the scripture says this, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. And so he's about to destroy the earth. But notice what he says in verse 3, and the Lord said that my spirit shall not always is a time word, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. And that was a generation back in the days of Noah. And so what he's saying is, I'm eternal. I am eternal, but man's time is limited, and there are times when my spirit strives with man, and there are times when my spirit doesn't. So what I want you to understand, when you're saying, why is it taking God so long to do something? I want you to know God is at work. And His Spirit is probably thriving with the individual you're talking about. But I want you to know something else. Go to Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, the Lord is speaking to the church at Thyatira, who is involved in pagan worship that Jezebel has introduced into the church in her culture. They're participating in it. And in verse 20, he says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, Thyatira, because you allow that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols," which was part of temple prostitution and idol worship. And notice what he says, though. "I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." Now, you may say, "Brother Leo, why is it taking God so long to work in this life and to work in that life?" Because, my friend, those lives have free will. And God is going to do everything He can do. And God is going to work everything He can work. But the bottom line, it's not God that has a problem. It's us. It's not divinity that has a problem. It's humanity. And the thing we need to understand, God is not on our timetable. We are on God's timetable. And when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you need to respond. And I'm going to tell you something. The more you put it off, I'm going to show you in the Scriptures, the harder your heart gets. Amen. Yes. When the Holy Spirit works on you, you need to respond. Yes. Because it's all about timing. Yes. And we are not unlimited in being able to call on God to do certain things in our lives. He calls on us because He's got our life ordered. He's got it scheduled. He's got a calendar for us. And we need to be obedient today. And you're going to see that in a moment in the Scripture. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at what it says about God's time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 1, he says this. He says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God and salvation in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored or comforted or aided you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, I want you to understand something. And I told the group this when we first got together today. When it comes to God's timing, and I know I'm hard on you a lot of times, and sometimes I'm beating you up over 5 or 6 or 10 things in one sermon. But as I've already said, when it comes to God's timing, you can only make 2 mistakes. Isn't that wonderful? You can only make 2 mistakes. I'm only going to talk to you about 2 itsy, bitsy, tiny mistakes you can make when it comes to God's time. And I'm going to start out with the first one. And the first one is spiritual procrastination. Today is the day of salvation. Now, that's what the Scriptures say. You say, "Brother Leo, what is spiritual procrastination?" It is when we don't move when the Holy Spirit urges us or convicts us. What do you mean by that, Brother Leo? I mean, you say to yourself, "You know, today's not a good day for me to do that." Or you say, "Today's not a good day for me to do it, but maybe Cameron will go do it. He's better equipped than I am." Well, the Holy Spirit's not convicting Cameron. He's convicting you. And He's putting it on your heart. But I want you to understand, humans put off the things of God. And they'll say, "You know, when I get old, I'm going to get saved." Well, my friend, you may not get old. You may not get older than today. You might say, well, I'm going to build two barns and I'm going to fill those barns up with stuff. And the Lord might say, you fool, your life is required of you tonight. Yeah. So I want to tell you something. When the Lord puts on your heart to do something for somebody, or if the Lord puts on your heart to make a phone call or send a card or do a visit, well, He's putting it on your heart. He's not putting it on mine. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the ministry, a lot of times folks will come to me and say, Brother Leo, I really think you need to do this. Yeah. And I'll be standing there saying, you know, Spirit hadn't convicted me I need to do this. Maybe it's because the Spirit's convicted you that you need to do that. Yeah. And we can do those things in life. But spiritual procrastination is when we put off the things of God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and let's read a little bit more extensively about that. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, the scripture says this. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Go down with me to verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And then come down to verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So a huge part of our faith and a huge part of our growth is not putting off the things of God that are in our lives. You know, you might be saying, you know, it's January 1. I'm going to start having a daily devotion and I'm going to get right with God. Well, January 1 is not God's timetable. Today is God's timetable. You know, when I retire, I'm going to do these things for God. My friend, your retirement is not God's timetable. Today is God's timetable. And He's working all these wonderful things together because He has a plan and a calendar for your life. Now, I'm going to take you to an epic verse, and then I'm going to take you to a personal verse. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And let me show you the enormity of how God controls time. And then I'm going to show you how Solomon tells us how it's personal. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul is talking about how he and the Jews, and he's really talking about 12 men, the 11 disciples and himself. And look at what he says in verse 5. Having predestinated us, Jews, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Do you see that in verse 5? Who is the us? Go to verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You tie verse 5 to verse 12. Who are the first ones that trusted in Christ? Those Jewish apostles. Those followers of Jesus. So he says, we were in God's preordained plan that God would use us to establish the foundation of the church. But I want you to notice something else. Look at what he says. Having made, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, from the day He created, from the first day when He said, let there be light, until the thousand-year reign, the great white throne seat judgment, and then eternity. This has been his plan. That he might gather together in one all things, all people, all of creation, all animals, in perfect harmony, in perfect righteousness, in perfect everything, in perfect health, gather all these things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So I want you to understand, when God created the Garden of Eden, and when Adam sinned, the Lord said, there's going to be a Messiah born. And when that Messiah is born of the seed of the woman, he's going to bash the head of Satan. And you know, Daniel, centuries later, got a prophecy. And the angel told Daniel, he said, there are 70 weeks declared on the nation of Israel. And I want you to understand, 483 years after the decree to rebuild the building, the wall around Jerusalem, Messiah is not only going to be born, but he's going to be crucified. He's going to be cut off. And so for five centuries, the Jews that read Daniel and believed in Daniel knew in 483 years after the edict by Nehemiah was given to Nehemiah by Artaxerxes that a Messiah was going to be born. Those people like Anna and Simeon that kept going into the temple in Luke chapter 2, they weren't there by happenstance. They knew, hey, it's getting close to time for Messiah to be born, because at 30 or 50 or 60 or 70, he's going to be crucified. They didn't know what age he'd be crucified, but they knew sometime previous to AD 30 or AD 35 or AD 38, he was going to have to be born. So they were there during those years. The Lord told Daniel, seal this thing up until the end of times. There was an hour, there was a minute, and there was a second when before the foundation of the world, God knew when Jesus was going to be born. And I want you to understand, that's how intricate and that's how perfect God orders time. And there was an hour, and there was a second, and there was a moment when he knew you would be born. Yeah. And every one of your days is already numbered. Yeah. Now, you got free will. You can shorten it. Yeah. You can definitely shorten it. But I want you to understand what's going on in your life concerning the timing of God. So go with me to Ecclesiastes. There are times I've had people say to me, you know, Brother Leo, I thought this was the right job. It may have been the right job at the wrong time. Sometimes folks will say, Brother Leo, I thought this was the right man. I thought this was the right woman. It may be the right man and it might be the right woman, but it's not God's time. You want everything done in God's timing, because I'm about to give you a beautiful verse about the timing of God. Spiritual procrastination is something we do all the time, but there's another thing we do. And I'll show you here in a moment. It's the second mistake. You get to go home today and say, wow, I've only made two mistakes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God has a season and a time to every purpose that he is trying to work out in your life. And there is a time. There is a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, God wants you to look at nature. And he wants you to walk out there today and say, you know, God's got timing for my life just like he's got timing for the seasons. Just like right now is the spring and we're harvesting and you know, we're planting. We're getting the early fruits. And in the fall, we'll get the later fruits. And just as he has ordered the seasons, he's ordered the seasons of your life. And isn't that beautiful? Now is the time. And it's the time for certain things to be going on in a spiritual way in your life. In verse 6, it says there's a time to get and there's a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. In verse 4, it says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, we want to skip over two times there in verse 4. And we just want to enjoy the other two. Yeah. But let me read them to you again. Sometimes there's a time to weep and a time to mourn. And sometimes there's a time to laugh and a time to dance. You say, why is that, Brother Leo? Because God's ways are much higher than our ways. And I want to tell you something. You learn a whole lot more in the weeping in the morning than you do in the laughing and the dancing.
Amen. Yes.
And you say, well, then why, Brother Leo, is there a time to weep and a time to mourn? Because as it says in verse 1, it's because God's fulfilling His purpose in your life. So what do you do? You rest in the times of God. I'm going to show you that in the Psalms in a moment. But look at what he says. In verse 10, Solomon says, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful and perfect and righteous in His time. Also, He has set the world in the heart of man, so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. God is doing a work in the history of this world from the beginning to the end. And God is doing a work in your life from the beginning and to the end. And I am now going to give you the second mistake you can make when it comes to God's time. First mistake is putting off the things of God. The second mistake is getting ahead of God. Now, we may have to go home and really confess this and name it out. We get ahead of God's timing, number one. Number two, we force the issue. Number three, we think God moves too slowly. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and let me show you what we think. And this is how we work. And I'm going to tell you something. God does not move too slowly. Sometimes man moves too slowly. Sometimes the people God's working on, they're not moving at all. But God is not moving too slowly, William. He's right on time. And you might be sitting there right now knowing that you know that God wants you to have something going on in your life, and for some reason it's not going on right now. Well, the bottom line is, it's just not time yet. You stay faithful. You rest in God. You keep serving the Lord, but don't get ahead of Him, because that's crucial. I'll show you what that does in a moment. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the scripture says this: the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. They're talking about the return of Christ. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, he's talking about one particular promise, that God's going to return. And so folks say, well, God hadn't returned yet. So why? And the scripture says He wants men to be saved. But I want you to know that God is perfectly consistent, not only about one promise, but about every promise. So I want to read it this way. The Lord is not slack concerning any of His promises. Would you say that with me? The Lord is not slack concerning any of His promises. Amen. God desires every man to be saved. So if I'm praying for a 90-year-old man to be saved, it's not too late. If I'm praying for a 40-year-old man to be saved, it's not too late. If I'm praying for an 8-year-old child to be saved, it's not too late. God is not slack concerning any of His promises. I mean, why should we say, I've been praying 40 years for somebody to get saved. Now they're in their 90s. They're never going to get saved. That's a lie. According to God, they can still be saved. So you've got to have faith in the timing of God. But I want you to understand something. He says, I am not slack. I am not delaying on any of my promises. But I'm not on your timetable. You're on mine. And everybody we're praying for has got free will. So you need to rest in this. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And this needs to be enough, my friend, because it is enough. Because sometimes, you know, we say things like, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. Really? Do Christians really say that? Well, the doctor says the only hope we have now is prayer. Oh, you mean I can't depend on the doctor anymore? I've got to depend on the one who created the doctor? That's terrible. I've got to create on the one, pray for the one that created this body that's in the hospital bed? Oh, woe is me. You know, all we can do now is pray. I've heard that a million times. And people don't even catch themselves when they say it. That's the frightening thing. And they say it to a preacher who lives in the Word of God. Goodness gracious, that sounds horrible. You ought to be saying, well, I guess all we got to do now is go to the doctor. You know, let's depend on God first. Amen. Or at least include Him in the process. Amen. Last resort, throw a life jacket out there for God. It's incredible. But here we go. Take heart in this. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, it says this. I don't care how long you've been waiting. I don't care how bad the situation looks. This is enough. The eyes of the Lord are over you today, my friend, and His ears are hearing every one of your prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So keep praying.
Yeah.
Today, He wants you to pray. Tomorrow, He wants you to care. About the same thing, Brother Leo? Yes, He does. He'll fine-tune your prayer. He'll tweak it. He'll change it. But let the take heart in that and go to Psalm 31. Go to Psalm 31. And then you need to say this out loud to the Lord. Psalm 31. Verse 13. I'll read it to you. And then I'll tell you what it represents. Psalm 31 verse 13 says this. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. Now, what does that verse represent? I want to tell you what's going on in David's life. His life physically is being threatened by Absalom. They're coming to kill him. So that verse represents how you feel when your life feels threatened. You say, what do you mean, brother? Like somebody's trying to kill me? No. We get threatened by a whole lot of different things. We feel threatened about things in life when something's happening to our child that we don't think's fair. We feel threatened about certain things in our life when it comes to our job or relationships. You know, there are a lot of things in life, whether we realize it or not, it threatens us. Change threatens us. When we're going to have a change, or when we have to do something new. There are times, you know, you feel this anxiety. You feel threatened. But notice what he says. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, you are my God, and my times are in your hand. You got to rest in that. You got to put your life in the hand of God and the times of your life in the hand of God. And you know how the devil deals with us? Well, you're getting, you know what time, chronos, in the Hebrew means? Number one, it means a succession of events. Moments, I'm sorry, a succession of moments. Like click, 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 or tick, 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 tick. But it also means a time, a space for opportunity. A time of opportunity. Like I gave her space to repent and she didn't. That's the time of opportunity. And you know how the old devil gets us? Oh, you're getting older. And you know what you're thinking? You're thinking, I'm losing my opportunity. Or this situation has gone on way too long, the devil will tell you. And you'll say, well, I'm losing my opportunity, you know, to experience things in this situation or whatever. The bottom line is, my friend, you've got to rest in the fact that God sees the entire situation and you've just got to trust Him and you've got to put your times in His hands. I mean, we went through delay after delay after delay with Brother Joe, Miss Pat, and And he finally had to call a doctor to call somebody. I mean, he's in there with infection for 3 days. And I'm texting back and forth with Chris. And Thursday morning, the plan was 2 o'clock surgery. Well, we get up Thursday morning, 6:30. She texts me that they moved it up to 7:30. So I text her at 8:30 to see how things were going. And he hadn't left the room yet. And at 11:30 and 12:30 and 1:30. And the same dance played out the day before. And Christy finally texted me back. She said, "Brother Leo, I am convinced Joe is going to have surgery when God wants him to have surgery."
Amen. Yeah.
And I've got that text. Yeah. Simple, direct, and to the point. It is the timing of God. And guess what was going on the whole time that Joe was waiting to have surgery that they originally wanted to do 2 days earlier? He was receiving a heavy regimen of IV antibiotics. So Joe had surgery when God saw fit to get all the antibiotics into Joe's body so that we could rejoice that the infection stayed superficial. And the whole time, Patty's saying to me, "Boy, I'm glad it ain't you down there because I know how you are." You know. But the bottom line is, our times are in the hand of God. And He knows better. Now, let me show you something, and I'll close with this. Go to Exodus chapter 14. This is why it's very important not to get ahead of God. Because we force the issue. And we get ahead of God. Now, when you get ahead of God's timing, do you know who's doing all the work? You are. Not God. Is He able to do all the work, Richard? Sure He is. But when you get in front of Him, how many of you out there, you know, yeah, you know, and we have folks listening. I have folks that I know in the Carolinas and other places that listen, and I know some in particular are in relationship issues, wondering if they're ever going to have a godly relationship. Well, you can't have the Christian man or woman God wants you to have when you got the wrong man or woman right now in your life. So you gotta repent first. No, but Bro Leo, me and God will change him. I don't know if there's a mouse in your pocket, but God ain't going to help you change him. Ain't no we going to change him. You get changed first, then you come. You allow God to change the person first or to bring the person in your life. But the bottom line is, when you get ahead of God, this is what happens. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, and stand still." They're at the Red Sea. "And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again, because the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall just stand still and hold your peace." Now, they have departed Egypt. They are at the shores of the Red Sea. And thousands upon thousands of Egyptian warriors and chariots are bearing down on the rear end of the column. Now, let me tell you what a lot of you would do. You'd holler out, "Hey, let's swim for it." And you dive in and you start swimming across the Red Sea. You get out there about a quarter of a mile or a half a mile and you start cramping and you drown. Because you're not going to stand still and wait on God, because, man, this situation's getting a little threatening. Time's drawing nigh. I'm just going to dive right in.
Yeah.
You know what I've had people tell me before? Say, you know, Brother Leo, I appreciate everything you say, but you know, I've never seen God work in my life like you say He's supposed to work. Well, you know why? Because you've always got ahead of God. He's not, you don't give Him time to work. You grab the horizontal. You make the best decision based on what you think. And you dive right into the Red Sea. Now, what would have been better? For you to swim 300 yards out in the Red Sea and cramp up? Or to just stand there and watch the Red Sea part? It is crucial in the Christian life to understand the timing of God. I publicly surrendered into the ministry in January of 1984 and preached my first sermon on a Sunday night in Walterboro, South Carolina. I knew by spring I would have a church. March, April, tops. I'm going to have a church. I remember thinking that in my mind. Patty, we'll be pastoring in the spring. I interviewed pastor search committees, probably 7-8 churches through the spring. Thought I was going to get called to every one of them. God called me to a church, and I didn't know He was calling me there. He placed me in a church the third week in August of 1984. They didn't actually call me until January of 1985. But I had about 6 miserable months because I knew God had called me to preach. Nobody in the world could have ever known that they knew that they knew that they knew. I knew God had called me to preach miraculously. But I didn't have a church. And I was miserable because I didn't know any of what I've taught today. And if any of those churches had called me, I'd have said yes. You know why? Because I wanted a church. But they weren't God's churches. So you know what I can say today? Praise God, not a one of them gave me an offer. Because then I'd have never served in the church that Patty was talking about a few moments ago. My very first ministry. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly. And I'm going to ask you to start talking to God about this issue, the timing of God in your life. And is there anything in your life where you're not resting in God's calendar? And maybe you're trying to force your calendar on God. And as she plays for just a few moments, just take this time to say, Lord, I don't want to go anywhere where You're not already there. So, Father, guide me to be still and to follow You. But, Father, I don't want to be still in situations where You're telling me there are certain things I need to do. Today is the day. So, Lord Jesus, show me where to move and where to be still. And speak to my heart about 2 or 3 issues, 2 or 3 situations that exist today in my life. Would you pray that prayer with me for a few moments?